chapter number 2 and text number 27. Tan
Rochamanam
Svarucha
Svarucha
Brahmaputra Upamam
Brahmaputra Upamam
Nava
Nava
Prapaccha
Prapaccha
Paramakritaha
Paramakritaha
Prashraya
Prashraya
Avanataha
Avanataha
Rupaha
Rupaha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Brahmaputropamam Navaha
Brahmaputropamam
Paramapritaha
Prapaccha
Prashnaya Avanato Nupaha
Prashnaya Avanato Nupaha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Brahmaputropamam Navaha
Brahmaputropamam Navaha
Prapaccha Paramapritaha
Prapaccha Paramapritaha
Prashrayavanato Nupaha
Prashrayavanato Nupaha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Tan Rochamanam Svarucha
Brahmaputropamam Navaha
Brahmaputropamam Navaha
Prapaccha Paramapritaha
Prapaccha Paramapritaha
Prashrayavanato Nupaha
Prashrayavanato Nupaha
Rochamanam
Glowing
Svarucha
Svarucha
By their own effulgence
By their own effulgence
Brahmaputra Upamam
Brahmaputra Upamam
Just like the sons of Brahma
Just like the sons of Brahma
Nava
Nava
Nine Prapaccha
Prapaccha
He asked
Paramapritaha Paramapritaha
Transcendentally overjoyed
Transcendentally overjoyed
Prashraya
Prashraya
Humility
Humility
Avanataha
Avanataha
Bow down
Bow down
Rupaha
Rupaha
Translated and perfect by the disciples of His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Overwhelmed by transcendental joy, the king humbly bowed his head and then proceeded to question the nine sages. These nine great souls glowed with their own effulgence and thus appeared equal to the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. Srila Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word Swarucha indicates that the Navayogendras glowed from their own spiritual effulgence and not due to their ornaments or any other cause. The Supreme Soul, Lord Sri Krishna, is the original source of all light. His brilliantly glowing body is the source of all pervading Brahmajyoti, the immeasurable spiritual light that is the resting place of the innumerable universes. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The individual soul, being part and parcel of the Lord, is also self-effulgent. In fact, everything in the kingdom of God is self-effulgent. As described in Bhagavad Gita 15, chapter 6th verse, natadvasayate suryo na shushanto na pavakaha yat gatvana nivartante tadhamam paramam mama. It has already been described in many ways that the Navayogendras were pure devotees of the Lord. Being completely Krishna-conscious souls, they naturally radiated the intense effulgence of the soul as indicated hereby the word Swarucha. Srila Siddha Swami has also pointed out that the word Brahmaputra Upamana, meaning equal to the sons of Brahma, indicates the Navayogendras were on the same spiritual platform as the four exalted Kumar brothers. It has been described in the fourth canto that Maharaj Prithu received the four Kumaras with great love and reverence. And here King Mimi is similarly receiving the nine sons of Lord Rishabhdev. Receiving exalted Vaishnava with love and reverence is a standard spiritual etiquette for those who desire progress and happiness in life. Om Madhyana Sumiran Hastya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chashurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupadajyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yoga Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sadhana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Nishakam Kamsha E Krishna Kamana Sindhav Dina Mandho Vishakpate Gopesha Vikaranta Radha Kamsha Mastade Tatta Kanna Nagoda Vindhi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Overwhelmed by the transcendental joy, the king humbly bowed his head and then proceeded to question the nine sages. These nine great souls glowed with their own effulgence and thus appeared equal to the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. So, we get the commentary from Sridhara Swami, the most authorized Vaishnava saint, preceded to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His commentary is very standard, and the whole Vaishnava family, either from the four sects, you know, they follow Sridhara Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam to be the standard. Nobody can change, deviate, or dare do anything. No mess around. So we see his explanation is of Swarochasha. Rochan is the effulgence. Swa means individual person. How is it that a living entity who is very insignificant part and parcel of the Lord and he is so much dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he can develop his own effulgence and he become brilliant? How? This explanation is given by quoting of Brahma Sahita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti Koti Shvasheshava Sudhati Vibhuti Vinnam Tat Brahma Nishkalam Mananta Shesha Bhutam Govinda Mahi Purusham Tamaham Bhajan. Actually, when Krishna says that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Prabha means manifestation at the same time effulgence. The one that is emanating from. Everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of God. So, we see that the original source of Abundance means all the energies are emanating from him. All the energies. So Brahma Nishkalam Ashesha Bhuta. Nishkalam means it is the solely responsible factor, this Brahmajyoti, which is emanating from the Supreme Personality of God. It is so bright, brilliant, and it is also called the sum total of all the energies that are manifest. It is in the Brahman. So any energetic principle, whether it is a jiva or the material energy or the spiritual energy, they are all coming. It is not impersonal because there is personality behind it. It is always in connection with it. So the Brahman effulgence that even the impersonalist target as the supreme thing or object, yet alone it cannot exist on its own. It exists on the support of the Supreme Personality of God. In other words, the Brahman effulgence is the effulgence of the body of the Supreme Personality of God. So whoever is in connection with him receives the same effulgence of the same quality. Just to bring out this effulgence or the spiritual energy, manifestation of this energy, a person may go through all the purificatory process just to let the Brahman effulgence be going. Because the matter itself, which is product of the Brahman effulgence, is so dead and obstructing that somehow or other it has to be purified. It's such an extent of austerity, severe finances. Austerity includes severe finances. So, how do people clarify even butter? How do people isolate the metallic particle from the ore or earth, which is a mixture of everything? It is always filtration process. And the more filtration process is there, more rugged process is being taken. You grind it so fine that nothing will be wasted. If you do coarse, then the proportion of the metal to be removed will be very less. So even though hard is a rock where all this gold, silver metals are embedded in, it has to be first ground into a very extremely thin powder. So a devotee is also in the fire of devotional service, grinds himself very, very fine. Very fine. The laws of material nature, they also grind us and our activities very, very fine. Very, very fine. If we do not want to understand competitively with the workings of the nature, then we will never be able to come out successful. So, those processes were meritorious only according to the length of the lifespan, and they were recommended. So, do you think we have to take this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra so lightly, or we have to grind it very fine just to make a pure sound of the Holy Name? Can you imagine the system to chant Hare Krishna purely is a very, very refining process. In order to chant only once that pure holy name, we might have to pass ages. Bahu janma yadi kare shravan kirtan. Tabutana paya Krishna prati premadhana. If somebody received premadhana, what to speak of this external effulgence? He will be absorbed in trance, samadhi all the time. He wouldn't care less anything. Once one has received a little drop of the nectar of the love of Krishna, he will act like a madman, absorbed in the transcendental samadhi. So, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of this, do you think he is obtained through our base moods of passion and ignorance? Even the tongue itself is a grinding agent, a fine grinder. What they call the jaws of death are very tight and they chew you up. Our misconceptions will be chewed up in the time of death. The jaws of tongue, kala, is really a grinding agent. So Krishna wants us to come to the platform of our Swarupa. When the Swarupa is being exposed, then we will be amazed by our own effulgence that is coming. But this is the effulgence that is reflected from the Supreme Lord in connection with Him. Because He is also called transparent. Transparency means all the fingers can go without any restriction, can pass through. Transparent, why I'm here? Why it is requiring transparency? So it can filter out all the taints. The tinting is not essential. Tinting should be removed so we can see as it is. Ishopanishad is also telling us, Hiranmayana Patrena Satyasyapihitam Mukham. My dear Lord, behind this dazzling effulgence of yours, your real face, which is of the true nature, absolute truth, personification. So if you think I am qualified, please let me show it to me. And we have a request to see that, my dear Lord Krishna, please show us your real form. Arjun tried, right? In Vishwarupa manifestation, Arjun was completely horrified. Arjun has and his conception was ground very fine by seeing the ghastly nature of the Lord's Vishwarupa. It's also brilliant. Aditya Varna Tamasa Parastar. It is so much effulgent. And whoever wants to be attracted to this effulgence of the Lord, even by dint of knowledge, the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha Loka just because they have heard from their father Brahma that the Lord's form is so much effulgent. So by the dint of little knowledge that they acquired, where they become so much effulgent, the four Kumaras, they thought, okay, let's go and try to see. So they were estimating the effulgence of the Lord that He will be brilliant like sun, He will be like that. So let's go. Because they are also brilliant. A little brilliance want to measure the brilliance of unlimited. So they go. Huh? They reach Vaikuntha Loka, but they were obstructed by Jayanvija. And with a little brilliance they could not measure or they could not estimate. Even the presence of Jayavijaya, and they were denied the entry. So they became angry. There is no anger in Vaikuntha. But when the impersonal knowledge is challenged, you know, then there will be some kind of anger. Anger will jump and come out. So, they cursed Jayavijaya. It's not their fault. They did not misunderstand. They were devotees. They were doing their duty. But Krishna took the opportunity. The Lord of Vaikuntha thought, let me go. I will fulfill Kumara's desire, plus I will also save my devotees. And to show us the brilliance, the experience that Kumaras saw, or they felt, is completely out of their estimation. They saw the Lord is coming, and they're thinking of some brilliance of a sun, but here thousands of suns are, simultaneously arising. The Lord's form was that kind of glowing. Glowing. So, they immediately felt, this is out of our estimation. Because impersonal measurement cannot measure the personality aspect. They cannot understand that how brilliant the Lord's form would be. So if the Kumaras can be baffled in their approach, what to speak of us? We are totally born in the darkness of ignorance. But rest assured, the all victorious holy name is self-effulgent. It's self-effulgent. And this holy name has been invested with all the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama nama kari bhavatani is sarva shaktis. So, shakti means effulgence, so the energies. And some total of all the energies come from that Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti comes from the body of the Lord. Therefore, you will never see a shadow of the Lord. There is no shadow. What is shadow? Absence of that personality. Even though Brahma Jyoti will be spreading and the material planetary system will be floating in Brahma Jyoti, yet the dead matter will not allow us to reach to that effulgence. We will have to grind ourselves very fine, purify our existence, and then we may be able to reflect that effulgence. So, everything of the Lord is brilliant, effulgent, and whoever is a pure devotee, he is also effulgent. He attracts, his personality attracts us so much. If you see Srila Prabhupada's face, it's so brilliant, so much out of the world. You will not find any old man looking, like that. more you meditate on the face of the Srila Prabhupada, more you will be want to surrender to him. You will never forget. This is the effulgence, and it is much appreciated. His face is so tranquil, and his expressions are so transcendental. What is this? It is nothing but reflection of the effulgence of Brahmajyoti. Many a times we see that even behind the pictures of, or the face, they put Tej Kiran, effulgence. But why Tej Kiran only behind the head, not all over the body? Here we have to put up artificial sunlight, moonlight or electricity to get a reflection on the dead matter so we will be able to see. You cannot see directly light. Only reflected light you can see through the eyes. So, what to speak of? Brahmajyoti, which is self-effulgent. It comes out from the body itself. How is it possible to see? Unless you try to purify yourself, and whatever little effulgence of the shining of Brahmajyoti, because Prabhupada says here, Sridhar Swami is telling that the Atma is also self-effulgent. The soul is also self-effulgent. Many times we paint and some bulb is put and the effulgence is coming out. It is self-effulgent. The soul is self-effulgent because it's part of Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti is effulgent. Right? So in this way, when one who is coming out of the bodily conception of life becomes self-effulgent. His body is not obstructing Brahmajyoti. So, a progressive devotee is always looking to that, and is that real personality, spiritual personality, who is very attractive. Because Krishna is all attractive. His entire process is just to attract. The very name Krishna is all attractive. And what is attraction? Attraction is the Brahmajyoti. So, here, Sridhar Swami is putting a lot of emphasis on the reality aspect of this Navayogendras, that by dint of their devotional service, they become self-effulgent. So, anyone would be attracted, knowing this process, the attraction, he immediately pays his respects. And just for the benefit of all of us who are trying to come up, he is asking pertinent questions in order to make us realize, in order to make us understand the reality of our being, which is right now covered or conditioned. It has to be exposed. Without exposing our real identity, we live a life of fake, pretense. So compare the blind imitation of our Bollywood and Hollywood style, how far they are and what kind of grinding they will require. They have to be ground finely. This is very important point that here is described. Lord Krishna's abode is also called Chintamani. Simply by thinking of the name Krishna or anything pertaining to Krishna, it is self-effulgent, so it pops out. It manifests immediately. The name and the object both manifest simultaneously. That's called Chintamani. Money is very expensive jewel, right? Like sparsha money, if you touch that money with anything, that will turn into gold. It's called sparsha money. Paras money. Another is called syamantaka money. Even without touching, it emanates gold. So it should be very effulgent. Gold also having that luster, which is a reflected luster. But if you take a piece of pure uranium, it also produces harmful effulgences. Right? In physics, these substances are called an activated state of existence. Activated state. Otherwise, the dull metal is called ground state, the one that does not react immediately. The solids do not react with solids. Solid may react with a fluid which is very agile, high. Even the gas is the finer, right? So it reacts with solid. Solid means earthly elements. When we become solid, stone hearted, we don't react immediately. Is it? It's called the hardship melt. The only melting element of the heart is love. Unless and until we develop. And love is self-effulgent. It's not artificially created. Love cannot be made. The most important aspect is that these souls are wandering just to give benefit to the humankind. So this is called paropakara, jivanti sadhava, for the benefit of helping others. That characteristics of the sadhu. So they are going anywhere and everywhere just to help others. So Lord's abode is also being described with self-effulgence. That is, natatvāsaiti suryo na śaśānko na pāvaka yadgatvā na nivartante tadhāmama paramama. There is no sunlight, moonlight or electricity needed. Vāsaiti. It's not existing in there. So, do you think it is dark? No, it is self-effulgent. There is no need of artificial or reflected light. So, transparency is there in Chintamani Dham or Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Chintamani Prakarsat Masu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Vriksha. So much varieties of self-effulgence. People say, well, transparent light, it may be brilliant, but their brilliance can be only understood when it is reflected on some object. Right? But light is nonetheless transparent. But in the matter, it is refractions are there. And the refractions make 9 different colors. Right? The rainbow. How many colors are in rainbow?
Seven.
Right? Seven. What are they?
Orange, yellow, green,
blue. Smart. But you like the color or you like the transparency? What do you like?
Color.
No, we have to become transparent. Color means
even
a person who has jaundice, he sees yellow. But that's called sickness, disease condition. When the soul is self-effulgent, it is transparent. The guru is described to be transparent via medium. You heard that? That is color. Money. Right? Money can be colors. But if you use money in Krishna's service, then it becomes transparent. Lakshmi Devi. Right? So we have to see how things can be converted into a transparent connection of Lord Shri Krishna. So, the Guru is called via transparent medium. Transparency. Lord Krishna, even though variegated and completely brilliant, yet there are varieties. Yet there are varieties. And he comes in different colors. How many colors is come?
Seven?
No. Garga Muni told that in every millennium he changes his color. You know? There are 4 million. So the original color is black. You know, it's black. Why it is black?
Like it's dark.
Yeah, black is blue or what is Ghanashyam. Black light, the rainy cloud. So, but this is what they call original color. From the black. It comes in yellow color. Who came in yellow color? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru. You forgot. Then, who came in red color? Yes. And white. It's also what I. So these are the 4 colors. White, black, red, yellow. No green. Sometimes Lord Ramchandra is shown this greenish paint. Right? Looks like little yellow is mixed. But anyway, the real transparency means the Lord has to pass through. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj gives this definition of the Guru Tattva, that it is Lord Sri Krishna Chandra himself, personality of Godhead, who is the transparent, embodiment, he passes through a suitable medium who does not obstruct the transparency of Lord Shri Krishna. That is good. Otherwise, there are what the Ritvik calls vanilla guru, because if it this flavor, that flavor, you know, the choice. Some say the guru has this personality, that personality, and people are attracted to the external personality as a charisma. That is not what is needed. Transparency. Who is able to allow Lord Krishna so he can be available in the transparent way without intent? Srila Prabhupada, he is the one transparent medium. Transparency is very much wanted. In other words, character transparency. We should not have private life in order to hide our weaknesses. We should be exposed in public. Transparency is much more required to give the knowledge as it is. Transparency is required to show the development of a character like Navayogendras or Four Kumaras. You know, transparency. They are the great souls. Even if we have some kind of functions, don't we ask for accountability? So, unless and until person is transparent, who can put faith in him? Who can put faith in him? So, transparency is required. He should deliver Lord Shri Krishna as he is. No paper sword added. Okay? We should not give Krishna to the taste of somebody. Krishna should be delivered as he is. That's what Srila Prabhupada. So, a well advanced king, you know, Nini, knew this fact. So he immediately respected, you know, the nine Yogendras. And for the benefit of all, he asked the questions. So, thank you very much. Anybody has any question?
Is Lord Ram is not avatar of Krishna, or is how is
it? Yes, it is. Avatar. Ramani murtishu kalani amena tishthan nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramah kumarayo govindamadi purusham tamahandaka. This is the glory of Lord Brahma, who can assert and who is in the line of Brahma Sampradaya. We accept that. And Krishna is the source of all incarnation, even including Ram. That is Kala Niyamena Tishtan, and says the portion of his expansion.
What time is Kurma return?
Kurma? What do you think? What's the color of tortoise?
Green.
Brown, green, something like that. But it's mixed, but original colors are four. Any other discussion? Comments?
I was reading in one of Srila Prabhupada's small books, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. He was saying that you were discussing in your class the other day how an elevated saintly person doesn't see anything as material. He sees everything as spiritual. Can we understand then that matter, I mean, there's actually nothing that's dead? Not a Prabhupada was saying in this book that actually nothing, there's no inferior energy, nothing inferior can come from the Supreme Lord. So do we understand then that that's just our conception, our consciousness, that we're thinking this is inferior matter for me to exploit, for me to lord over, but actually it's all conscious?
That's correct. In the eyes of a realized soul, everything is spiritual. Because our consciousness has been deviated, it's entered into a very envious principle of lording over, to lord over. One of the names of Lord Krishna or Vishnu is Anish. Anish. Ish means Lord and Master. One who does not have a Lord and Master over him is called Anish. And therefore he is the Lord and Master. And everything is meant for his service. But as soon as we have little lording over mentality, that blockade of materialism comes. So material, dead matter, means we are insensitive. We are insensitive about using it in Krishna's service. We want to use it in our service. So that much dead consciousness we have. So, a person becomes totally dead in consciousness when he simply wants to have sense gratification and nothing else. His chetana, this consciousness, is stolen, destroyed. Bhogeshwarya prasaktaha taya aprata chetasam aprahata. Hata means destroyed. His consciousness is destroyed. But you may say, yes, he is living, but his consciousness is pertaining to eating, sleeping, mating and defending only. And that doesn't make him human being. There are levels of human existence that basically he is an animal. Then other animals like bees, beasts, and they are having all their societies too. So, and man is also having his society. So he's called social animal. But then the third thing they found out, which is a little more distinguishable, that he has a capacity to reason. So he becomes a rational animal. Rationality with animal propensity is rational animal. Yesterday we were looking into one slideshow then as there are three kind of quotients pertaining to human being. What we measure intelligence is measured in IQ, intelligence quotient. But that is also given to an elephant as well as porpoise, the dolphins. They are also very intelligent. They have IQ too. Is man only going to be measured on the strength of his IQ? Then they found that something very distinguishable quotient that man has more is called emotional quotient. It's got EQ. IQ is there, plus EQ is there. Emotional quotient. That, well, he is more of an emotional animal. Intelligent animal, emotional animal. Then they found something that because he is reasoning, he is trying to find out about himself also. So that kind of inquiry is only available in the human beings and not anywhere else. So they term it spiritual quotient. SQ. IQ, EQ and SQ. How much one has. So those who have no SQ and only EQs and IQ, they are animals. But the spiritual quotient you may find in the person, and then he is called a real human being. You know, atharto brahma jigyasa, only in the human form of life, our spiritual inquiry of reality should begin. As long as it doesn't begin, we are animals. Animals. What do you think? What kind of animal are we? Are we animals? No. Actually, if you call somebody an animal, it's a very derogatory word. You think I'm an animal? So I start, you know, fighting with you. But we have to understand that we may look like animals, but we are not animals. And to dispel that doubt, Lord Krishna took avatar in almost every species of life. He came as fish, tortoise, he came half man, half lion, right? But most of the avatars are in the human form because they are in advanced state. But nonetheless, the supreme effulgence was found in all the avatars. That's called avatar. If you grow your hair and everybody is attracted with the, you know, so-called afro, and they call you avatar? No. The word avatar is also used in a derogatory way. You know? Avatar means reincarnation, means it's also a kind of avatar, not a Krishna's avatar. Because who comes in? You have the same potency to be born again and again, is it not? But we are forced to be born. Krishna is not forced to be born. We are forced to be born and we also imitate him. So sometimes we become animals, sometimes we become fish, sometimes we become birds. Whatever kind of bhava we have, Krishna says, you are in my image, but you are an imposter. You are forced to take this kind of birth. But look, I have difference. I come on my own volition. You know, I'm not forced to come, but I'm coming in order to make you understand. You know, that I have superior nature. You don't have superior. Your superior nature, self-effulgence, is completely covered. First, if you want to become, you know, fully in recognition of me. You want to become self-effulgent? Take my help. You know, you will become. So, we have to learn what he says, how he says, why he says. Then Yogendras will answer very beautifully all these questions that we need in our life. Okay. Any other? Yes. Because they are also avatars, so they will understand Krishna is an avatar. But it's not wrong. If Krishna is desiring to come through his Vishnu expansions, that's also right. After all, can anybody trace out who comes first, whether chicken or egg? That's the real trick. Who comes first, chicken or egg? Come on, tell me. Who is first born, chicken or egg? Tell everybody, raise their hands. Who says the egg came first? Raise their hand. Only two. Why? Nobody else? Alright, who can tell chicken come first?
The goat came first.
That's very easily. He did not raise his hand. It's true. That's incredible. Both came simultaneously. Right? You have to see, how do you see that both came first?
Because the chicken comes first.
No. If chicken comes from the egg, then the egg comes first.
But another chicken leaves the egg.
The best way to see, you know, in other sense also, get a better example, not chicken and egg. But the better example is, the seed comes first or the tree comes first?
The seed. Both.
Both. But then check the seed. There should be tree within the seed. Can you see the tree within the seed?
No.
Bhava, there is seed and tree together within the seed. Yes? The other one has it will grow in the tree. And the trees have fruits within their fruit. The seeds are there. So simultaneously the tree is also existing and seed is also existing. And within the seed, if you say, the seed is also existing, there is very minute tree is also existing. So both are existing simultaneously. It is not that they came, one came first and then the other came first. No. Krishna created everything simultaneously. So both came first. So, who came first? Vishnu came first or Krishna came first?
Krishna.
You can say both. There's nothing wrong. But if you pick up one, like Vishnu is the source of Krishna, then you are called Ramanuja Sampradaya. And if you say Vishnu came from Krishna, you are Brahma Sampradaya. Both are right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why both are friends. They are not enemies. And both agree, yes, you are right, I am right. If not that, the third Mayavad Sampradaya comes and says, oh, you say both are right, you are good friends, I am also a good friend. I say, you are Narayana, I am Narayana. Namo Narayana, Namo Narayana. He wants to interject something third, which is, you are Narayana, I am Narayana. No, no, no. Forget, you are not Narayana, neither I am Narayana. So, he is an enemy. Mayavadis are Krishna Raparadi. They try to make it so short, you know, as if they are right. And many people, you know, the majority of the existence is in Mayavad. So easily gullible, because they are not intelligent. Their IQ, EQ and SQ is not there. Okay.
What is a cow classified as? IQ, EQ, SQ?
What is?
A cow.
Ah. Cow?
Yes.
How do you want to classify cow?
I don't know.
No, I know only one thing. She is mother. Can mother be classified in anything?
No.
Cow is the mother. Even the cow is said to be having no intelligence, but Krishna's, you know, love her. We don't require intelligence. Krishna says, I will give you intelligence. You don't need to have it of your own. Alright, thank you very much. All good, Sister Prabhupada.
Yeah. Yeah.